What's up, guys?
All right, what's up, guys? Welcome back, baby, to the weekly scraps. We got some recaps that we want to do. I got Jake Hare on the call with us. We're going to touch base on a little. What should we do first? Should we do the recap first, or should we get right into like the current events kind of thing?
I say recap and then current events.
All right, so let's start with the recap then. We got Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, obviously him versus Kevin Holland. That fight for me was insane. Kevin Holland, entertainer first, and I guess it's going to sound weird to say, but winning second. Like, at least that's the way I look at this from the outside. I'm like, dude, I feel like there was many paths to victory in this one. And I'm a fan of both guys. Wonderboy, he's trained with us. He's his brother is actually married to Chris Weidman's sister, Colleen. So to see that, so I've had a lot of interactions with Wonderboy. So we're pretty cool. Wonderboy we've hung out with a bunch, and then Kevin Holland, we hung out with him a bunch as well. So the only thing for me is I see this matchup, I'm like, damn, it's really hard to pick. And after we broke it down, I was like, man, I feel like Wonderboy's gonna win this fight.
Yeah, that's,
but then
once you really broke it down, I also agree. Like,
yeah, but then in the fight, you see Kevin Holland have his moments, and you're like, oh, Kevin Holland can actually, I mean, anybody can win. It's an MMA fight, right? But then Kevin Holland's having his moments. He gets the takedown off of like a slip. And I'm like, well, this is the banana peel that we said if it happened, if he got Wonderboy to the ground, no matter how he got him to the ground, this is an opportunity for him to win the fight, secure a round, lock it in, and on top of that, do some damage. And, of course, use his jiu-jitsu, which I would imagine is a lot more superior, in my personal opinion, in comparison to Wonderboy. I don't think Wonderboy does much grappling when he's home, other than the few times that he's worked out with Weidman. But that was back in the day. I don't think he's doing much jiu-jitsu with Chris these days, in my personal opinion. This is just what I think I know. I could be completely wrong. So he gets him on the ground. He lets him up two different times. What are you doing? I did not understand that whatsoever. I'm like, dude, you got to secure the bag. You can punch him, make it exciting. You don't go for the jiu-jitsu stuff. All right, fine. But punch him, ground and pound. Make it exciting, then stand him up. Don't just, we're not wrestling. Like, I don't know, man. That couldn't be me. I tell you that.
Yeah.
Never be me.
I just don't understand, like, I felt like it was kind of the unspoken thing. Like, if you know that his weakness is the grappling, and you know that your disadvantage is if you try to purely just stand up with him, why do you think he was letting him up? Do you think he...
I don't know. The entertainment, man.
But, like, he's not... That win could have put him, like, up in the rankings. Like, he's not... Kevin Holland, I don't think he's ranked.
No, I don't...
I
don't want to
remember
speak,
watching
I don't
the
think
fight.
He was ranked coming into that one.
Yeah, like, I remember watching and I was like, oh, Wonderboy's 6 and Kevin has no number next to his name. But I could
is
be
Barbarina
wrong.
Ranked? I feel like one of them was ranked, one of them wasn't ranked, and that was a high-stakes match at 170. And, I think to your point, that was a huge stepping stone for him. And I think what the UFC was trying to do was, I don't want to say give him a layup, but give him a more favorable matchup in comparison to the Khamzat Chimaev, Shavkat. Like, if he fought those guys, we kind of know, like, those guys are going to take him down, and if they take him down, what's going to happen? We kind of got a glimpse of that already.
Yeah.
We got to look at that already. I don't want to say glimpse. We got to look at that already if we're not mincing words here. And he gets a striker. It's a fun fight, back and forth. He has some big moments, some big opportunities in the early goings of the fight. I don't know when he broke his hand, but just to speak on that, I think the UFC gave him a favorable matchup, gives him an opportunity to kind of wash away the slate of what happened with him versus Khamzat Chimaev so that the fans kind of forget about that, because we know the fans are like, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
You do this, you have a great performance. The majority of the fans are going to forget what happened with you and Khamzat Chimaev. That's just the way this game works. It's weird. For me, I'm just like, nah, I know what happened to you a couple months ago. That's just me. But for him and the fans, that was a great opportunity. And unfortunately, I think it was a little ill-advised. And I don't even know if his corners told him to do that. I think that was more so on him being in the moment and just wanting to put on a show for the fans, which was fun. Don't get me wrong. It was fun to watch for me, for the millions of others who watch it, but for your pockets and your bank account.
Right.
I'm just hoping that the UFC is like, all right, take that. Thanks for the entertainment. Thanks for a potential fight of the year candidate showing. And I don't know. You know, I don't know how often they do that. And that used to be a thing of the past. I don't know. I haven't gotten it. I guess my fight. I don't know.
No one likes the grappler. You don't stand there and let people tee off on you. So
hey, listen. If the UFC would tell us in the back room, hey guys, if you make this a crazy fight and you guys go out there and you fight crazy, we will take care of you. I'm like, all right, man, say less.
Yeah, you would let yourself get your ass kicked for
more money? No. I didn't say let myself get my ass kicked.
Because, okay.
I said say less. I might stand up and bang it a little bit more, and then I'm going to take your ass down.
So, well, hold on. If they said, Aljo, get the shit kicked out of you for $1 million, would you do it?
Get the shit kicked out of me?
Like, go in there and have a Michael Chandler fight for $1 million.
Baby, is it worth it?
She's like, yeah.
She's shaking her head. I don't know what that means.
Give me that Birkin. Yes,
no. So, I don't know, man. That's a tough position to be in. If that's my fight style and that's the way I win, and I don't have any other paths to victory, I'm going to just do what I got to do. Collect this bag. Ball out. Save up money for these investments. But I have a very particular set of skills that make me very dangerous to a lot of people like you and a lot of people across this world. I will find you. I will submit you. And I will take your back. So that's the way I kind of break that down. I don't know, man. It's a little too crazy for me. I can't go out there and just start brawling. Like, but if they did say, hey, if this is a crazy fun fight, we'll take care of you. I'm like, all right. I'll stand up a little bit longer. Like, even the TJ fight, I want to stand up and strike. Don't get me wrong. But he threw the kick, and we trained. You were there. We trained for that kick, drilling over and over and over. And the kick just fell in my hands. I just caught it. My natural instinct was to just run him down to the mat, and that's what I did, and I beat the crap out of him. But, yeah.
Yeah, he served it up to you on a silver platter.
Yeah.
And said, like, come eat this meal.
Yeah, like Wonderboy falling over. I mean, dude, that's not my problem. I didn't tell you to slip, you know?
But why let him up? Like, you kind of need a win.
They both needed wins. And
right.
I think I still think both their stocks go up after that performance. I think Kevin Holland showed that he's right there. And I think a lot of the people, if they're smart, they're like, okay, if Holland decided to, maybe that fight actually goes his way if he kept the fight on the ground when he did take him down and punched him a bit and then let him up. I think the most fans should be privy to understanding that. Like, if you can't break that down and make that connection, then you are lost in the sauce. And you're one of those guys who are just like, there's no point in even having a conversation. Because if your brain doesn't comprehend that, then I don't know what to tell you, man. You don't watch. Yeah. You clearly are a casual. You don't watch a sport at all. So, So, it's, great fight. What was that?
Yeah. I was going to say, it's like if you had Sean O'Malley's back and then you just got up and were like, let's strike. Like, you're like, you're giving it to him.
Yeah. And people are going to be calling me names. They're going to be calling me stupid. You're an idiot. Your fight IQ this, your fight IQ that. The same way they rip apart Chandler. I'm just like, Chandler's still got a pretty damn good fight IQ. He fights to his strengths. Maybe he doesn't wrestle as much because it makes him tired. I have no idea. But his style is go hard or go home, and he gas pedals everybody. And for the most part, when he makes a connection, he puts people out. You know, so it's like, you can't be mad when it works, and then when it doesn't work, it's like almost like Cody Garbrandt. Like, when it doesn't work, now everyone's like, oh, his fight IQ. I'm like, dude, you guys were loving it when he was putting people to sleep. You know, live by the sword, die by the sword. Sometimes it goes like that.
And I think there are some guys who, like, they get a pass. Like, for even when they lose, they still can boost their credit with the fans just because they put on such exciting fights. And it's not like, it's almost like they didn't lose in a way. Like, I almost feel like Kevin Holland, when he comes back, he's such a bigger star from taking the Khamzat fight on short notice, being the main event, and then being another main event and having a banger fight. Like, I still feel like he comes back with a bigger name and people are more excited to see him fight.
I hope so. But it's going to be a while because he broke his hands in multiple places from what I understand. Yeah. And it's displaced. Whatever the hell that means. I'm talking like I understand this jargon. It's broken and it's displaced in multiple places. I have no idea what that means.
It means his fingers are not where they should be.
Yeah, so I don't know how long of a recovery that's going to be. I feel bad that he's going to be out for that long. I don't know when he broke his hand. It sucks because, again, it was a fun fight. And if he broke his hand in the first round, had Wonderboy on the ground, and then let him up, that's some hardcore gangsta-ass shit. But
exactly.
It's some gangsta-ass, not-so-smart shit, in my opinion. I was like, if I broke my hand, and I knew I broke my hand in the first round, I'm going to be like, nah, dog, I'm going to have to beat this clock up, and I'm going to have to beat you up with some elbows, punches with my good hand. You know, and think about this. Me and the boys were talking, and we were breaking down this fight, and we go analyzing the fight. And I go, you put on the show for the fans. You break your hand in the first round, whatever round you break it in. Let's say the second. He breaks it in the second. And then you break one. You use the other one because you still want to put on the show. You break the other hand. Now you have two broken hands. This is how you test your relationship, fellas. You're going to go out there, break your hand for the fans, taking all that glory. Yeah, do the Donald Trump. You know, the whatever this dance move is that he does. And then taking all these shots to the face. Ah, gay.
That's the dance you do when Put That Shit On comes on.
Put that shit on. But you break your hands. Let's say you have a fiance, you have a wife, you have a girlfriend, whatever. You're going to go home. Yeah, babe, I made all this money, but my hands are broken. Now you finish cutting weight. You're going to be using the bathroom way more. You're going to be... Dude, this is how you touch your relationship right here. Like, what's your lady going to do for you? And if you're into the other stuff, if you play for both sides, you know, I'm not here judging. What's your guy going to do for you?
Yo.
Are they wiping your cheeks? Cause
nah.
Dude, no. That's wild. Is it not? What do you think about it? I'm like,
I'm getting a bidet installed. I'm not even asking.
Nah. I'm like, babe.
I'm not asking Becca. My significant other.
Becca!
Nah, stay away from there.
Baby, I gotta go. I'm eating nachos. I'm eating queso. I'm eating ice cream. I'm eating chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, that's post-fight.
Babe, we're gonna test this relationship right here. Do you love me or not?
Oh, no.
Because I got this Charmin. And I got two broken hands, babe. What do you want me to do? My hands are in a cast. I can't do nothing. I can't wipe. You got to help me. That's actually, I didn't even think about that.
Or I'm getting a bidet installed. I'm not having my girl do that.
Nah, you're not letting her.
Nah, bro, she's not going to be my girl that long if she starts doing that.
You got to marry her at that point.
That's a fucking done relationship. She's going to see me differently.
Yeah, but that's a real one. That's a real one. Babe, would you look at me the same? I don't know.
I think just the conversation's making her look at you different.
She's a nurse, she says. So she's like, this is what we have to deal with. I'm like, all right, respectable.
All right, so fellas who are single out there like me, find yourself a nurse.
She'll wipe those cheeks up for you.
To take care of you.
Nice and clean. We were talking about that. I thought that was like a very interesting thing to think about. And I was like, I never thought about that. Because you get the one hand banded up. You got the pins in it. Then if you break both, what do you do? That's a shitty situation to be in. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Pun intended.
You went there.
Yeah, but either way, man, great fight. I don't know. I don't think Holland's stock goes down that much, but I know people are going to be like, damn, bro, you could have won or put yourself in a better position to win. I don't know. Whatever. It is what it is. This is why Kevin Holland is Kevin Holland.
That's true.
The RDA fight, I mean, this was a good fight. Very classic RDA going out there, pushing him against the cage, transition to the back. And it's such a weird thing. It's like when he does it, I feel like people don't give him the respect that he should get.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's because he doesn't talk shit. I think about it like that. I'm like, maybe because it's like his style of fighting, the way that he wins, isn't the most entertaining. But for me, it is because I'm a grappler. But the way he just slowly drowns these guys and then he submits them. He did it to Neil Magny. He did it to Barbarina. He's done it countless times before. But I want to say... like, even for me, like, when I do it versus when he does it, it almost seems like, yeah, people talk more shit to me, but people don't really talk shit to him. It's almost like no one's paying attention. It's a weird, I could be completely wrong, but it feels like no one's paying attention to RDA. I don't know if because he's lost the belt, he's no longer the champ. But people forget that he won the belt two different weight classes, 155 and also at 170. So even with, I like the way that he took him down, he transitioned to the back, and then from there, throwing the hooks in, he dominated the control with the head and arm choke for a while. And then I thought the fight was over in the first round, but it went to the second, and this was more or less the same exact thing, same approach. It's just interesting, man. Sometimes you see these killers that are so good, so technical at what they do, and people don't talk about them as much. And what I'm saying is I'm not disrespecting RDA. I just feel like I'm not seeing the response of the crowd and the fanfare of them talking about him and appreciating what he's doing out there. Because to be at his age, coming back from such a crazy loss against another striking opponent who's very good and durable, lands some nasty elbows, and is always in these fan-friendly fights, puts it on the line all the time at Barbarina, and then RDA goes out there and just pretty much makes it a one-sided dominant fight, and just, man, it was like a slow mudslide of a dominating performance from RDA. Like, Barbarina didn't really have any moments in this fight, like, whatsoever, that you could have been like, oh, he almost had him. There was nothing like that, at least that I saw. And Barbarina's a tough dude, man. And I want to say he was on like a couple fight win streak. Yeah, he was on a 3-fight win streak and then losing to RDA like that and by finishing the second round. So unfortunate for him, but huge for RDA to get back in the win column. And he can still compete with the best guys because he's always going to have that expertise in that one field of grappling. And he's going to always be able to do that to guys if he can impose his will. He wasn't able to do that to Fazeev for some reason. I don't know if he thought that he could strike with him more, but I felt like he would have done that. But this is back at 170. I think the Fazeev fight was at 155.
Yeah.
So fun fight either way, man. Good for him. But I think maybe he should just stay at 170 and finish out the rest of his career at 170. And maybe he'll get a break. I mean, even against a guy like Shavkat, who's a marauder, maybe he can challenge him with his grappling as well and make it an interesting matchup.
When RDA was doing that to Barbarina, I was like, yo, is that Khabib?
Yeah.
For a sec. He literally like looked like he was Khabibing him.
Yeah.
But yeah, he looked like a savage out there. He looked kind of like you.
His grappling is good, man. Super high level.
Yeah, just dismantled him step by step with technical grappling.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I agree. Savage, man. The guy's, he's still a killer, man. Still one of the guys to watch. And if you want to learn some BJJ, this is a guy to watch for sure. I did want to analyze and break down his submission so I could show people. And then the other one I wanted to show was the other really cool submission, which was Roman Dolidze. But I'm not going to have time because we're going to go into Jamaica. Still packing up for that. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Some other good fights. This guy, Pavlich, killer. I thought this guy was a one-trick pony. I thought he got lucky, but it's a very, very good trick, man. He just bum rushes you. He has a really good jab. And then once he finds that he makes a connection, it's like he just knows, like, okay, if I can hit him one more time, I know I can send this guy to the Shadow Realms. And that's just what he does. Two fights in a row to Derek Lewis, now to Tuivasa. Tuivasa beating Derek Lewis as well, getting a finish. And then a guy who was a former interim belt challenger in Tai Tuivasa and former interim challenger in Derek Lewis, for him to go out there and beat both those guys and finish them in like just excellent, I don't know, man, just dominating fashion, the way he just went out there and just slaughtered both guys, man. The Derek Lewis, you could kind of make a case that fight could have gone a little bit longer, but now watching this, I'm like, dude, I don't know if anything would have changed. It would have just, maybe Lewis would have just survived a little bit longer. And maybe the results are the same. Unless he would, you know, there's always that puncher's chance, especially with Derek Lewis. But it looked like Pavlich is here to stay, man. Like, I think he's the next potential challenger for the belt. I think he is the next guy. I'm going to say that. This guy is an absolute dog, man. To see the stuff, to see the way he's throwing these punches and the way he's lining it up, I don't see who's going to beat him for a good time unless it's like someone who's a grappler and can get inside and tie him up.
Yeah. Well, I think I don't know what they're doing with John Jones at heavyweight. But, yeah, I mean, my thing with this fight, though, is, like, Ty definitely came back too quick after a knockout loss like that. And, yeah, this guy has a good, like, his, obviously, you can't take anything away from Pavlovich because he's a savage. And he did the exact same thing to Derek Lewis. But it's, like, Ty definitely should not have been fighting in December. I think even February would have been probably too soon. So it's just, it's kind of sad to see him take two knockout losses in a row when he was on such a high trajectory and like a crazy win streak fighting for the interim title. Now he's taking damage like that to his head. It's just, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of that. And I think it was kind of dirty for him to be in that fight. You know what I mean?
We'll just go on. Roman Dolidze taking his fight on short notice against Jack Hermanson. Wow. I've seen a cast slicer before in fights. Charles Oliveira, I think there was one other one. But for him to do it like that, belly, Jack Hermanson down, and those shots. Let's not even talk about the sweep that he hit earlier in the fight in round one to get back to his feet. It was just an entertaining fight from beginning to end from both guys. And Hermanson is a high-level grappler. So for him to get caught in that position, Dolidze just shows that, man, BJJ can be very dangerous as long as you're super active. You're not just stalling the fight and just looking to kill the clock. It is a very dangerous spot to find yourself in, and especially with him falling in love with his hands. I think that's what's going to make him a very fun fighter to watch. I think he's already shown that. He can crack, so he can knock guys out. And his BJJ, I would say, is better and more technical than his striking. So I think you got a real title threat right here in Roman Dolidze. He's a dark horse, man. You've seen Adesanya with the grappling deficiency, I would say. And I it's hard to call it like a, I don't say deficiency, but that's the area that he's not the most, that's not his strong point. Dolidze could come in there. He might not be the best striker. He might not be the fastest striker. But he's tough. He can grapple. And if he can get the fight to the floor, I like his chances against a lot of these guys. Even like a Bo Nickel. Him versus a Bo Nickel would be super fun to watch. And I think we'd get to see both of these guys probably have to figure it out on the feet. Or Roman Dolidze would rip Bo Nickel's leg off. Because the one grappling match I think Bo Nickel did, they had to convert the rules a little bit, customize it. And when they customized the rules for Bo Nickel, they said no, like, leg locks kind of thing. So Roman Dolidze, we've seen him multiple times go for the leg against Philip Hawes. Now against Jack Hermanson, we've seen him hit the sweep. Like, there's a lot of good things that he could do that will pose some threats to Bo Nickel, unless Bo Nickel can stifle the game on top and not take any damage. And really, that's really what he's going to have to do, kill the clock. We know he could take him down. Jack Hermanson took him down. But that's not the dangerous part. The dangerous part is being on the mat with a guy like Dolidze, who's controlling the posture. He's attacking off his back with elbows. And then he's constantly looking to attack your legs, looking for triangle chokes or looking for arm bars or to sweep you and get back on top. So there's so many fun fights for Roman right now, which makes me excited to watch him going forward. For him to take this on short notice, perform so well, and on top of that, get the finish, man, the sky's the limit for this guy. And I don't know if you've been paying attention to him as much as I have, but this is a fun grappler to watch who can knock guys out. And I think that's going to be a big threat to a lot of these guys. And if they weren't paying attention to Roman Dolidze before, you better be paying attention to him now. Because what he's doing, I'm telling you, man, that is some dangerous high-level shit that's going to give a lot of guys some problems. Jack Hermanson is no joke. He submitted a lot of guys. For him to get caught like that, I don't know if you saw him submit Kelvin Gastelum with a knee bar slash leg lock.
I did not.
In the first round, I think in like less than 2 minutes. So for him to get like wrapped up like this by Dolidze, I'm telling you, man, it says a lot. People better pay attention because this is going to be a tough guy to beat. As long as he comes locked in up here, I stylistically, I see him being a nightmare for a lot of people out there right now.
Yeah, Roman's a fucking savage and he's been active. So I'm excited for him. He's on like three or four fight win streak?
Four now. And
yeah, he's
beating a ranked opponent.
And he.
Three.
I know said this last time, but. Yeah, like. But he came down from 205 on a two fight win streak to middleweight.
And then he lost. He,
that guy's just a. He's just a savage for the weight class, but.
Yeah. But I think a lot of good things to come for him. A lot of fun matchups in this 185-pound division. We're starting to get some new blood, which is cool to see as well. And I think he's relatively young, man. He's 34. My bad. Not that young. But I think there's any time for him to strike while the iron's hot is now. So now he's entered his name in that conversation. I think he even poses a big threat to a guy like Alex Pereira.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, big threat to Alex Pereira.
Yeah, definitely.
He called out Khamzat Chimaev. I like that call out. If Hamzat's going to come out, Hamzat's a good grappler, but he's mostly wrestling. Roman's a grappler, but he's mostly BJJ. And that's where we get to see styles of making fights. And I think it would come down to the striking, which I think Khamzat is a lot faster than Roman. And I think the takedowns, he explodes a lot. This would, man, there's so many good matchups. I could go off on this. I could talk about this for another 5-10 minutes, bro. But for time's sake, I know you got to get out of here soon, so we'll keep this rolling. A couple other good fights. Eric Anders getting a finish over Kyle Daukaus. Philip Rowe, shout out Philip. He's a fellow Jamaican as well, Jamaican-American like myself, first generation. Shout out to him getting a big finish over Nico Price, where Nico was looking like he was coming back and was going to take the fight and get a finish. And then Philip Rowe comes back and styles on him and gets some bonus points and puts him away. I think he's tied for like the most finishes in a row right now. Nope, I lied. But he has 2 finishes in a row back to back. Oh, actually, I did. No, he does. 3. Kosi, Jason Witt, and now Price. So good for him, man. Angela Hill, always doing her thing. She gets a dub. 2 in a row now for her. Clay Guida, split decision win. Michael Johnson looked sick. Jonathan Pierce versus Elkins. We could talk about these. There's so many to go. Like, there's so many fights. But like we said, for time's sake, just there's a lot of notable names out here. Jonathan Pierce, Nathan Levy, Francis Marshall beating Marcelo Rojo, which is a huge win for him. And there's that girl who was on the opener, Yurge, I think that's how you say her name, Yasmin.
Warge, something, yeah.
Yeah, she got dropped and she came back and got a sick finish in the second round. Ground and pound TKO, man.
I saw that. That was sick.
Yeah. So just one other thing, the Bellator fights that are coming up. We got Rafion Stotts versus Danny Sabatello in the main event. That's going to be a really fun fight. I'm looking forward to watching that one. And then we got Patchy Mix taking on Magomed Magomedov. Patchy, for me, is like as close to, as it gets to being the mirror image of me and Bellator, in my personal opinion. I think he's that good. His striking has come a long way, and I think people aren't realizing how good he actually is. And he can strike, man. That's the really good part about it. He's put a lot of time into the striking that I've seen personally over the past few months at Extreme Couture, and I think that's going to pose dividends against a guy like Magomed, who is mostly a grappler and mostly does controlling, right? So my thing with grapplers that always just look to wrestle, you have to be threatening with something. You can't just take somebody down. You got to be looking to do damage. And this is where I tie in the Henry Cejudo thing. If you take me down, okay, bravo. I get taken down. People always say, oh, you're such a good... I'm like, dude, I get taken down all the time. Yeah, in terms of the wrestling world, I would give up takedowns because it was just like, if I couldn't out-scramble you, that's how I would get my takedowns because I wasn't very technical at shooting. I would either use a Russian arm and go for big moves. So I would always wait to top and bottom because from there, that's when I did my most dangerous work, which was I would pick top or you would pick top or you pick bottom. And then I would piss pound people with power halves, leg riding, and just torching them. Power halves, ripping their shoulders off, looking for the pin or just inflicting as much damage as I could. So again, Patchy is one of those guys. He's going to take your back. He's going to beat you up. Magomedov is going to need to do damage if he wants to win that fight. And the Sabatello fight, I'm not very interested other than just seeing if Rafion Stotts could shut the big mouth up. This guy talks a lot of shit. And for whatever reason, his styles, like, again, it's like RDA. But the difference is he's just taking you down and he's holding you. He's not really putting guys away. So when you see that, it's like people are paying attention to him because he's just talking. If RDA did the same thing, people would be tuned in and locked in to want to watch him fight all the time. Even if it's not a fan-friendly style. For this guy, people want to watch him fight because they want to see him just get his mouth shut. So Let's see what Rafion Stotts could do. Can he put? He can put the test to the. What do you ever know? He's gonna test him, and see where that's at. And with that said, before we get into the next one, I just want to give a shout out to DraftKings Sportsbook for sponsoring this episode's podcast. Thank you for always supporting us, your boys over here. As they say, keeping the lights on. I mean, I keep my own lights on, but thank you guys for always doing that for us, of course. And outside of that, Jake, my memory card is full, so I'm going to need to... Damn, this is tragic.
Wow.
Yeah. Dude, I might have to just... I don't know. Do a separate one at... In what do you call it? In Jamaica.
Jamaica, yeah.
Yeah, I got 1 minute left. It's flashing right now.
fuck.
It is what it is. We were going to get into the main card anyway for UFC 282. But that's fine. We could figure something else out. Or if anything, I could just do it while I'm at the airport, while I have some downtime. I could do that and maybe send it over before I take flight. But yeah, I got to finish packing for Jamaica. Jake's coming out. We got a whole crew. We got Marab. We got Ally Quinta. We got Dennis Bazookia. We got my cousin, Ant. It's going to be a fun time, man. I'm definitely looking forward to this. I'm going to show everyone the wonders of Jamaica the same way we did with Marab going to his country of Georgia. And the UFC team is going to be coming down to film. I fly out tonight. So if anyone is around, we'll probably post some like fan meetup stuff in like nice places where people could come and actually hang, mingle, maybe take some pictures with the locals down there. And of course, we're going to get the red stripes and beef patties and of course some authentic jerk chicken and some oxtail, you know. With that said, we got 5 seconds. So signing out. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back.